Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.
Hello and welcome to another breaking news episode of What Most People Think, and I'm joining you this week from a Travelodge in Southend, City Centre Travelodge. Does it get any better? Yeah, I mean. Probably based on some of the smells I encountered coming out of the door this morning. But it's one of those Travelodges, this one, that, you know, randomly, I talk like everybody does Travelodge, but where you go in the room and, of course, there's the spacious double bed. Genuinely not an ad. I sleep well in these beds, I'm just saying. But there's also another single bed just pushed against the wall. And I sort of treat that single bed like a chaise longue in many ways. If I'm here throughout the day, I won't just lie on the main bed. If I want to do my thinking, I'll go and sit by the chaise longue, a bit like Oscar Wilde, you know what I mean? But in a Travelodge in Southend. I did another really good work in progress last night. One thing that's been interesting about doing the work in progress is again, I suppose as comedians, we're guilty of thinking that the public sort of know or give a shit about what that means. So there's definitely, I reckon, about half the people that come to these shows that just think, oh, we're going to see his tour show. And then, you know, the other half that are aware that it's building up material. But the half that think it's just the tour show, there's definitely a little bit of underlying hostility when I bring out the laptop and mention the fact it's a work in progress. So I have to keep reminding them, £2 cheaper. £2 cheaper. Every time a joke bombs, £2 cheaper. Now, in this episode, we're mainly going to talk, well, it's about the landmark ruling on sex and the Equalities Bill of 2010 that occurred this week. So in some ways, this is kind of prime what most people think territory. And I think that, you know, in a lot of cases, most people won't be engaged in this debate that's been raging on for, you know, roughly the last decade. They would have just been, it will have been like bear shits in the woods type territory, you know. So they see a headline and it says court rules that, you know, being a woman is based on your sex. People have gone, right, what's the next thing then? Judge to decide on complex Pope Catholic issue. Not claim to be an expert or indeed an activist in this field, but it was interesting to see some of the reactions coming after that ruling. We got a new patron, and I'm sorry, this guy is overdue for his shout out, and he's reminded me a couple of times, and his name is Rob Borland. Rob Borland. I mean, Borland. I mean, that sounds like another theme park in Britain, isn't it? Just a place to go and be bored. Maybe it's like the 70s, right? You just go there and it's permanently set in the bit after the Smurfs finished. Do you remember when that was on telly? And when you had to go to bed. Here's a thing that's changed dramatically in my life is, I think we might have mentioned it on the podcast before, the Sunday night feeling. Now you've got reels, kids have got kids' TV as long as they want. The Sunday night feeling was one of impending doom. In many ways, maybe it was a good thing because it actually made kids want to go to school, possibly more on a Monday, because it was either that or just carry on watching Antiques Roadshow and Heartbeat. But listen, or The Darling Buds of Mate. Look, I might well be mentioning shows that are well loved by the audience here. But Rob Borland, you are very welcome as a patron, and I'm sure you're not boring. Robbie Borland. Boring Rob Borland. No, he's not boring. He's an exciting guy. He sometimes takes the USB stick out without even ejecting it. As ever, we do a thank you and a fuck you on this show. And the thank you is to Minecraft, the film Minecraft. I absolutely love films that the critics hate, but the public love. Because in many ways, that is what this podcast is about. What's the actual reaction to things on the ground? And Minecraft has come out. And it's made a ton of money. And there's a very obvious reason why. And there's probably a good reason I enjoyed it. It is pitched very boy heavy, right? I'm not saying girls wouldn't enjoy it, but it is notably what my wife would call boy humour. And you know what I mean by boy humour? It's like whenever I have a Jim Carrey film on, my wife just turns her nose up and goes, boy humour, right? It's silly voices. It's people being way over the top. And this film, and I'll say this about the Minecraft film, it is utterly ridiculous. I mean, it's just so stupid. And Jack Black, who I think understands the young boy sort of sense of humour, just turns it up to, you know, 1,000. Jason Momoa is there, who almost is deliberately overweight. It's just a funny, his character is so funny. His character is like a washed up computer game champion from 1989. It's just very funny, very funny. It's got some great lines in it as well. It's got some proper jokes. Jennifer Coolidge does a really good cameo in it. And she says this line about her ex-husband, Clementine. She says, the marriage died 20 years ago, but we stayed together for the dogs. I'm sitting there. I laughed more than my son at this film. So maybe that's one for the therapist. But and you know what's great to see? Just a film that boys are going, yeah, just the kind of stupid knuckleheaded. At one point, tell me this isn't great cinema, all right? All you Ken Loach fans out there, tell me this isn't great cinema. At one point, Jason Momoa is having a fight with a tiny chicken being ridden by a baby zombie that cries when it gets hit, right? Tell me that isn't great cinema. You can keep your fucking Shape of Water and any, you know, anything that wins an Oscar. That's what I want. I want tiny chickens and baby zombies. The fuck you this week is to Katy Perry and those women that went into space this week. So you probably all have seen it by now, is Katy Perry and the fiance of Jeff Bezos and some other giggling women. It was like babes in space. It was like, you know, those women that you used to see out of the top of stretch limos in city centres, just screaming. It was that kind of look at us energy. Look at us, we're going to space. And you go, yeah, like this would be impressive if you had A, kind of designed any of the technology to do with that craft, or B, had trained properly to be astronauts. What you sort of are famous or well-connected. And really, this is kind of like a wank ego trip for Jeff Bezos in a lot of ways. But all of that could have been excused if they'd have just gone, look, at the end of the day, we were offered a little day trip to space and we took it. Because who wouldn't, you know? And as Catherine Ryan said, made a very funny joke about them all really wanting to know what it was like to be weightless for a while. It was something like that. As much as I butchered the joke. But Katy Perry, right, she gets off this craft. She kisses the ground. Go, love, you've been up there 11 minutes, all right? Look, it's not something I've done. I don't know how it feels emotionally. But a lot of you spent a lot of the time up there taking selfies. I'm not going to lie. 11 minutes, and then the interviewer refers to her as an astronaut. And she does not bridle at this description as an astronaut. And I did a tweet or post which said, if Katy Perry's an astronaut, then I'm a pirate because of the time I went on battle galleons at Alton Towers, right? You're not an astronaut. And then she tried to do this kind of feminist thing where she said that, you know, we are taking up space. Mm-hmm. We are taking up. Yeah, the pun is a bit like Jamie Oliver's famous eat and messy. Get it? Katy Perry, we're taking up space. Yeah, we got it straight away. It's just we didn't like it. And it's quite refreshing to see. This is one of the reasons I'm on TikTok and I'm not there noncing, as a lot of people, my mates accuse me. I just find it interesting because you get to see what the younger reaction. And Gen Z, they have moved beyond that brand of feminism that sort of thinks you got to support the girls. Whatever the girls are doing, it's amazing. It's all about the girls. Like, you know, again... Again, as Catherine Ryan said this week, maybe feminism is that women can do dickhead things too. Maybe that was the true equality that was being sought all along. Like, you don't have to just back Katy Perry because she's got a vagina. Speaking of having a vagina, let's get into this week's big news. Okay, so I'm going to try and sum up where this case came from. It was, I think, that the Scottish government, under the SNP, you know, who, let's be honest, have been at the vanguard of some of the more, shall we say, radical progressive action over the last few years in the UK, they had allowed for trans women to be included in single-sex consideration for diversity quotas for women being on the board or in government positions. It was something like that. So it triggered a landmark legal case because the Equalities Act, which is what had been used in the first place, what they were seeking from the Supreme Court was that in the Equalities Act, that the word woman refers to a biological woman and does not include biological men who identify as woman. And so they won that case, and that was why there were scenes of celebration this week. The first thing I want to talk about, you know, if we're getting into reaction, is the judge's summing up, right? So he gave the ruling, but then he almost kind of gave a warning where he said that this should not be interpreted as a victory over one side over the other, right? Immediately it was funny in the news because they kind of cut to the Supreme Court steps where people like celebrating. And I just thought, I don't know. I know that judges have a role in kind of engineering or refracting or guiding social reactions to things. Or do they? Right? Is that his job? Does he really get to say who gets to feel what about what? Because everywhere in the culture, the reaction seemed to be quite clear that people who would be called gender critical or the more negative pejorative TERFs, right, which has almost been used to the point of meaninglessness, they were celebrating and trans activists were not celebrating, right? They were commiserating. So I don't know where, in a way, the judge gets off thinking that that's for him to tell society, look, this is how you should feel about this, right? And I get that, you know, it is a very contentious area. I would say, look, in the world of comedy, I remember on News Quiz once, we spoke about this subject, and my God, you've never seen such fear and panic in the green room for the contestants, any subject, whether it's Ukraine, war, anything. Nothing has made people as tense as discussing this subject. And I guess it's because you kind of know that you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, right? Me, in a way, it's easier. I can quite happily say that my position is broadly, moderately, I suppose, gender critical, right? But I do get, for a lot of comedians who are left wing, it's a lot more complicated. If they feel that, it's a lot more complicated for them to come out and say that.
What most people think.
I mean, Jesus, even me saying moderately gender critical, I might get shit for that. You know, why are you moderate? Why aren't you all the way gender critical? Well, I say gender critical in a moderate way. This is, maybe this kind of speaks to the issue. It's a loaded issue, and why wouldn't it be, right? If you're talking about identity, the consequences of biological sex that, you know, for some people they felt would be an erased, why wouldn't it be a loaded area? And then, speaking of kind of reactions, one of the most incredible things I saw was Tom Bradby, our old mate, friend of the show, Tom Bradby, on the News at Tom. Why didn't I call it that before? The News at Tom. He was, I would say, just a hunch based on his intro and everything he said throughout the show, not pleased with this ruling, right? I tell you, forget the trans people. You know who wasn't happy? Tom Bradby. He starts the thing. He goes, so the High Court have done this. It was literally, right, the tone of it sounded like this to me. The High Court have done this stupid ruling, but what next? What about that? Thinking you're clever, Supreme Court pricks. But we'll be discussing that in a balanced way about the decision that they clearly got wrong. I mean, every question he asked was a loaded question. I mean, to the point where if it was a law court, I would have got objection, question and answer. Objection, leading the witness. I mean, it was just, I do not know. Does he do amazing ratings? Does he? Because the way that this guy is able to editorialise that news slot blows my mind. But anyway, look, he's not the main story. But he's got a good way of, he's got quite a neat way of making himself the main story. But it was also, in terms of reactions to this, it was an interesting week for politicians who'd been previously quite strident on this issue, a number of which are in the Labour Party, starting with the big boss man himself, old Daddy Downing Street, as the Metro once called him Keir Starmer. Just a slight sidebar. When Starmer got in, do you remember that weird period where there was kind of lefty women fangirling over him? And there was an article in the Metro that said, come on, admit it, Daddy Downing Street is smoking hot. I mean, I think even Keir would say that 2024 Keir compared to 2020 Keir is a different proposition. I'm not, there's a lot of pressure, the years roll on, but yeah, Daddy Downing Street. God, can you imagine him saying that in the heat of passion? Yeah, you'd love Daddy Downing Street, laid some pipe. Oh, anyway, look, I'm just horrified anybody. So let's get back to the subject in hand. Is that Starmer had previously been very slippery on the issue. What, Keir Starmer? Yeah, I know, really weird. Like, he sort of seemed to have one view, then it changed a bit, then he had another view. And there's a very famous clip of him with Andrew Marr, when Andrew Marr confronted him with the idea that what about people that say a woman would have a cervix, or to be a woman you must have a cervix, or, you know, the biological, you know, essence of being female. And Starmer said, well, I would say that you shouldn't say that, you know. So there's plenty of examples of him equivocating. David Lammy sort of called gender critical people dinosaurs. Plenty of Labour front benches have gone down this road. Not just Labour as well. I think Caroline Noakes on the Tory side has had her say along these lines. And then what you had was, once the ruling was out, you had a lot of Labour figures so shameless. We've always stood on the side. Always. That's doing a lot of heavy lifting there. Anna Sarwar, the leader of the Scottish Labour Party, straight in there. He's pretty shameless as well. You know, I've always protected single-sex spaces. Okay. All right. But look, I mean, in a weird way, that is a sign of the degree to which things have turned, is that the, you know, politicians, the cultural world has had a wake-up call. They've sort of been reminded that the law, and broadly speaking, the public, would recognise, you know, that sex, it really feels amazing that you have to say this, that the word woman refers to a biological reality. Right, just a very quick hype here. I haven't really mentioned much about doing Edinburgh, but I am up at the Edinburgh Festival. For those of you, are you thinking of going? For those of you who can afford it, it is a bit pricey. I would recommend go for a few, because the hotels are really expensive. Look at student accommodation first up, because it's not that bad. But I would go up there for 3 days and just smash everything. Just do 5 shows a day. Don't do too long there, because it's an absolute fucking money vacuum. The Edinburgh Fringe, I'm up there from the 11th to the 24th of August. So it will be Basic Bloke 2. I think my show is at like 3:30 or something like that. And I think for my audience, that we'll call that the pre-bedtime show. and by the way, just in terms of work in progresses, I've got 4 next week. Two of them are sold out, but the one in Grimsby on Wednesday still has tickets, and the one in Whitehaven. Do me a favour, I'm going all the way to Whitehaven. I didn't realise how far it was away. We've still got about 25 tickets there, so it'd be nice if we could fill those, you know. It would, you know, give me something to look forward to on that 16-hour drive to Whitehaven. So now this kind of this legal wrangle has been won. It's interesting to think about how we got here, because it was definitely a debate that built velocity over time and became a culture war issue. As much as for a lot of people it was a very real issue, it did also become a culture war issue. There's absolutely no doubt that both conservatives and progressives weaponized this to their own end, right? So, and a lot of people, and I once said this, pointed out that back in, I think it was 2009, somebody called Nadia, a trans woman, won Big Brother, right? And people said, well, nobody cared then, you know, what happened? It was weaponized. And I thought, no, that is slightly a moot point, because when Nadia won Big Brother, there was different terminology around, right? I think back then, people would have looked at as trans very much as being people who'd physically transitioned, right? That had gone all the way. And then there were terms like transvestite, you know. There were other things knocking about. There was a whole load of categories. And then somewhere along the line, it just all became a catch-all term of trans. So you were sort of being instructed to consider people that said that they, you know, felt female and dressed female, the same as people who'd spent 2 years getting a gender recognition certificate, you know, doing the biological, you know, not biological, but like the physical changes of their body, right? And that was where it became murky. But that took a long time for that argument to reach the British public, because, you know, and a lot of people on the sort of woke left pointed to other civil rights battles, like, you know, gay equality, and they sort of said, look, it's the same as that. In one day, a day will come where you will feel ashamed for what you've said. And they tried to make it seem like the same thing, which in a way was a giveaway. It did sort of suggest that they were looking for another battleground for another cause. But this was palpably different from the start. One big difference in terms of how we had the national debate about this was that the debate and the conversation about homosexuality was had in mainstream media, right? It was had on 4 or 5 channels. It was had on 7 or 8 newspapers that we all read. But this debate was had during the period where media is kind of like deregulated, disseminated down to social media, echo chambers, and a very small amount of people were discussing this, and a very small amount of people had sway in institutions, universities, you know, places that where gender critical views became problematic. You know, people lost their jobs. So I just don't think it is honest to say or to equate this discussion or debate or struggle, as they might see it, with the March for Gay Equality.
What most people think.
And sometimes I feel bad for transsexual people who are, you know, just living their lives. You know, it's fair to say that 2009, people that had transitioned their body, it was always, you know, a surprise for people to see somebody if they got the sense that somebody had transitioned. It was still a lot for people to get their heads around, but it wasn't the contentious battleground that it eventually became, and people got dragged into that. I do feel like the progressive movement were just guilty of overreach, maybe hubris in a way. They sort of start saying things like, you know, men can have babies, you know, chest feeding, all that stuff, which again, I'm not saying that this was trans people that were promoting all of this. Certainly, probably some of them were, but it was certainly adopted by a movement. And it was things like that that bit by bit started to encroach into the territory of women and caused a fight back. And, you know, how many photos could you see of sport where there's just some massive, like, you know, when you see, there was a point where it would go like, you know, records broken in cricket league where a batter hits an average of 260 and you go, okay, I think I know what's coming next, right? That is a slap in the face. You know, and I've had discussions with friends of mine who are progressives, and they've sort of nominally taken the position like, I don't see a problem with it. But then they're having younger, because, you know, generally younger, it'll be younger women that play sport. So they're having young progressive women telling them, it is a problem. Like, it's me and my friends that are occasionally coming across people who are physically a lot stronger for us. And it's just like, setting aside the politics of it, it's simply not fair. Sorry, I realise I'm not being very funny on this subject, but, you know, it traditionally hasn't been an absolute goldmine for comedy, I won't lie. But it is true to say about this court judgment that it does give clarity on what woman means, right? It does give clarity on that. But it still leaves open the idea of what people, you know, trans women or trans men, which spaces they are allowed to be in, right? But that is, you know, I have sympathy for people who are quietly living their lives that now feel, I don't know where I'm allowed to go, right? I have sympathy for that. But saying that that's a reason to have not sought clarity, I don't buy that at all. It wasn't for the people that brought this case to resolve the other issues. That's for companies, government and everybody else to grapple with. And then there were certain, I mean, there's been the reaction to this, as often, you know, in politics or culture, when one side loses an election or a landmark ruling, there've been some reactions that sort of said, oh, imagine if, you know, the TERFs put this much energy into dealing with rape or domestic violence and all this sort of other stuff. And the problem was that some of the people that they were directing that at do also put their energy into that. But look, sometimes when people have a defeat, you know, you've got to kind of let them lick their wounds. But one of the arguments I've always had a problem with is when they retreat into the area of saying this, well, this only ever referred to a vanishingly small amount of people. You go, yeah, but that's the point, isn't it, right? If you're saying, well, this is just a fraction, this is 1 in 200 people, maybe less. You go, yeah, so why are we changing huge things, right? Why are we changing language? Why are we changing, in some cases, NHS literature, right? Why are we changing traditional women-only spaces? You know, when in the fire service, when there started to be more female firefighters, people quite reasonably went, you know, fireman to firefighter, I guess if 1 in 10 people, maybe it's not even that high. But I guess we can do that. But changing, I think Wes Streeting put it quite well when he spoke about the needless erasure of sex-based identities. You know, when you talk about 1 in 200 people, I'm afraid it does come down to a numbers game. I think it's very hard sell for people to sort of take things which, you know, are the essence of you know, part of the essence of being a female. And in some cases, some of the big, huge burdens and responsibilities women face, like breastfeeding, and call it chest feeding. Now, I know that the right-wing press have sometimes jumped on these things and polarised and exaggerated their import. But the fact that those moments exist at all is a suggestion that there are people in institutions that have had their head turned. So what do most people think in light of this ruling? I'd imagine that I think the British public view on this have been very stable, actually, is that they have sympathy to people that feel that they should be living their life as a different assumed gender, and they think that those people should be protected from harassment and bigotry. But also the state of being biologically female is a clear and distinct thing, and that single sex spaces in the, you know, the world of women's refuge and women's sport need to be protected. And, you know, also in the issue of like female only shortlists for jobs, right? I think this is one of those issues where if you'd asked the British public to make a ruling on this a long time ago, they could have done it a lot quicker. So look, I realise that I've delved as a bloke into a contentious issue there. Why not go in with my big size 9? So if you want to react to anything I've said there, you want to tell me off, or you want to concur or disagree, whatmostpeoplethinkuk@gmail.com. And I realise it's an important issue, so I'll keep an eye out on the email and refer back to stuff in next week's show. Listen, I hope you have a great Easter. And if you're having lamb, get out there and remortgage, because I don't know if anybody has seen the price of fucking lamb. They must be buying it from Pret. But look, have a good one, and I'll be back next week. The main show will go up for patrons on Tuesday, and it will go up for the main feed on Wednesday. Happy Easter.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran, or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.